Smoke was riding the ridges early one morning, looking for any strays they might have missed. He had arranged for a buyer from the army to come in order to give Faye some badly needed working capital, and he planned to sell off 500 head of cattle. Suddenly, he saw the flash of sunlight off a barrel.
Damn!
Smoke threw himself out of the saddle, grabbing his Winchester as he went. The slug hit nothing but air. Grabbing the reins, Smoke crawled around the rise and picketed the horse.
Shh! Easy, boy. Calm down. It's okay. Just calm down.
He wasn't sure if he was on box T range or DH range. It'd be mighty close either way. If the gunman had waited just a few more minutes, Smoke might well be dead on the ground, because he planned to ride in a blind canyon to flush out any strays. Working his way around the rise of earth, Smoke began to realize just how bad his situation was. He was smack in the middle of a clearing, hunkering down behind the only rise big enough to conceal a human or horse to be found within several hundred yards. Smoke couldn't tell the caliber of the rifle, but it sounded just like a .44-40, probably with one of those fancy telescopes on it. He'd read about telescopes on rifles, but never had a chance to look through one, only seen pictures of them. They looked awkward to Smoke. He knew one thing for an ironclad fact. He was in trouble. Whatever the gunman was using, he was one hell of a fine rifleman.
Hanks has cut loose his rabid dog, Danny Rouge.
Smoke judged his chances of getting to the timber facing him and rejected a frontal run for it. He worked his way to his horse and removed his boots, slipping into a pair of moccasins he always carried. The fancy moccasins Ring had made for him were back at the house. Smoke eased back to his skimpy cover and chanced to look.
Ooh, damn it. I gotta move, and soon.
If he stayed there and tried to wait Danny out, sooner or later the sniper would get the clean shot he was waiting for and Smoke would take lead. He'd been shot before and he did not like it at all. It was a disagreeable feeling, and it hurt, too. Smoke looked around him. There was a drop-off about 50 yards behind him, a natural ditch that ran in a huge half-circle, the southeast angle of the ditch running close to the timber. He studied every option available to him, and there weren't that many. His horse would be safe, protected by the rise. If something happened to Smoke, like death, the horse would eventually pull its picket pin and return to the ranch. Smoke checked his gun belt. All the loops were full. He patted the horse's neck.
All right, you stay put, fella. I'll be back.
Smoke knew that shooting either uphill or downhill was tricky, bad enough with open sights. But with a telescope, trying to line up a running, twisted target would be nearly impossible. He goddamned well hoped it would be anyway. The gunman started dusting Smoke's running feet. He was hurrying his shots and missing, but he was coming close enough to show Smoke how good he was with a rifle. Smoke curled himself in the ditch, managing to stay on his feet. Then he dove for the cover of the ravine's wall. Now, Danny would have to worry about which side Smoke would pop up out of. Smoke began working his way around, staying close to the earthen wall. He knew the distance was still too great for his .44, and besides that, he didn't want to give away his position. Smoke took his time, smiling as the ravine curved closer to the timber and began narrowing as the timber loomed up on both sides. When he came to a brushy spot, Smoke carefully eased out of the ravine and slipped into the timber. His jeans were a tan color, his shirt a dark brown. He'd blend in well with his surroundings. He began closing the distance. Smoke had been taught well the ways of a woodsman. Preacher had been his teacher, and there was no finer woodsman to be found than the old mountain man. Smoke moved carefully while still covering a lot of ground, stopping often to check the terrain all around him. Danny not only looked like a big rat, the killer could move as furtively as a rodent, too. Before making his run for it, Smoke had inspected the area on the ridges as carefully as possible, considering that he was being shot at, and he kept Danny's position highlighted in his mind. But Smoke was certain the sniper would have changed positions as soon as he made his run for it. Where to was the question. He moved closer to where he had last seen the puff of smoke. When he was about 100 yards from where he thought Danny had been firing from, Smoke made himself comfortable behind a tree and waited. ever since working overtime. He felt he could play the waiting game just as good or better than Danny. He waited for a good 20 minutes, as motionless as a snake waiting for a passing rat. Then the rat he was waiting for moved. It was only a very slight move, perhaps to brush away a pesky fly, but it was all Smoke Jensen needed. He brought his Winchester up.
Shit!
Smoke knew that he had clean missed on his target. He ducked back. Smoke caught a glimpse of color that didn't seem right in the timber. Smoke smiled. Smoke didn't move. That thump could still be another trick.
You son of a bitch, Jensen!
Sorry, partner. You opened this dance. Now you pay the fiddler.
You bastard! I never even heard you come up on me.
And you would have backshot me first chance you got.
I'm hard hit, man. I got the makings, but my matches is all bloody. Least you can do is give me a light.
You're gonna have lots of fire where you're going, partner. Just give it a few minutes.
You damned engine lover! Damn you and your blasted cousins!
Smoke was up and moving, working his way up the ridge to a vantage point which would enable him to look down on the wounded man, see if he was as hard hit as he claimed. The man was down, all right. Smoke could see that. And the front of his shirt was badly stained with blood. But it wasn't Danny Rouge. It was a man he'd seen riding with Cord McCorkle's hired guns.
What the hell's going on here?
The man lay flat on his back, both hands in plain sight. He wasn't moving. Smoke inched his way down the ridge to just above the gunman. He was dead. He had taken a round in his guts and one in his chest. Smoke had been right. It was a .44-40. And a brand spanking new one from the looks of it.
Why, hello there, Smoke. You thinking of starting a collection?
Nope. I'm taking this poor son of a bitch back to his place of work. You know him, Hard Rock?
Owned by his rep. His name is Black. Call him Blackie. He's a back shooter. Well, he was.
He worked for Cord.
Well, now that you mention it, I've seen him sometimes over at the Pussycat. Doesn't bode well. You think Cord's behind it?
No. But if the men on his payroll are playing both sides against the middle, I can't just ride over there with one of their buddies draped over his saddle.
You want me to see if I can get Cord for you?
That's a good idea. But keep it quiet at the ranch. Speak only to Cord. I'll be at the Box T bunkhouse.
He'll be there.
Smoke had only enough time to relieve the horse of its burden and give it some water and hay before Cord came riding up.
Smoke, what's going on? Hard Rock just told me to come over here right quick. That's Black, isn't it?
It is. He tried to shoot me in the woods. He missed.
Shoot you? I don't understand this.
I didn't think you would. But the big question is this. Was the sniper working as a lone wolf? Perhaps just to gain reputation for killing me? Or was he part of a larger scheme?
Involving the gun hands from both ranches?
Yeah.
I don't know. My first thought is yes. My next thought is, I've got to get Dooley to talk to me. Bury the hatchet before this thing goes any further.
Forget it. The man is kill crazy. I've heard he's making all sorts of wild claims and charges and plans. He says he's going to take over the whole area and be king. Keep a standing army of 100 gunhawks. All sorts of wild talk.
He's damn near got 100 if what we're thinking is true.
Close to 50, if they'd all get together.
And if I go back and fire all those drawn fighting wages?
We know where they stand. And you and your family would probably be safer. But if we're wrong, it would leave you wide open. Cause for sure the gunnies you fire would just hire on at the DH.
Seems I'm stuck between that much talked about rock and a hard place.
Whichever way you decide to go, watch your back.
Yeah. What about Black?
We'll bury him. And don't mention it, Cord. Just let the others wonder what happened, if there really is some sort of funny business going on.
There is some grim humor in all this, Smoke. If this thing goes on for any length of time, both Dooley and me will go broke paying fighting wages.
Maybe that's what the gun hands want. Maybe that's why they're hanging back.
Cord shook his big head. It appeared that the man's hair had grayed considerably since Smoke had first seen him only a few weeks back.
This thing's turning out to have more maybes and what-ifs than a simple man can understand.
Smoke motioned for Charlie and Spring to come over.
Let's get him in the ground, boys. Well away from the house and unmarked. Spring, you can have that .44-40. It's a whale of a rifle. Dusted my butt proper.
I'll go through his pockets, see if there's some address for his family.
And take his horse and turn him loose. He'll find his way back to the ranch. We'll keep the rig. That'll add even more down in the minds of the gun slicks. You about caught up at your place, Cord?
Yeah, why?
Pull a couple of your best men off the range. Keep them close by at all times. When you ride, take one of them with you and let the other stay around the house.
Good idea. But at night, I don't have to worry much. Every time I look up, the Moab kid's over there sparking my daughter.
She could do worse. Beans is a good man.
At first, I told her she couldn't see him. That made about as much impression on her as a leaf in a whirlwind. I finally told her to go ahead and see him. She told me that she'd never stopped. Daughters.
You keep a tight rein on your boys?
I'm trying. Lord, I'm trying. I got them working just as far away from D.H. Range as possible. But they told me last night they think they're being watched. Stalked was the word Max used. That gives me an uneasy feeling.
It might be wise to pull them in and keep them around the house. Tell you what, do this. Tell the gun hands to start working the range.
Hell yes. That'll make them earn their pay and keep them away from the house.
Or it'll put them on the road.
I'll see you around, Smoke.
As Cord rode off, Faye came to Smoke's side.
Now what?
We'll sell some cows to the army and wait.
The buyer for the army had already looked over the cattle and agreed to a price. When he returned, a couple of days after Smoke's misunderstanding with the sniper, he brought drovers with him. Smoke and the buyer settled up the paperwork and the bank draft was handed over to Faye. The two men leaned up against the corral railing and talked now.
You know about the battle looking us in the face, don't you?
Uh-huh. And from all indications, it's going to be a real cutter.
What would it take to get the army involved?
Not a chance, Jensen. The army's done looked this over, and unofficially, and I didn't say this, they decided to stay out of it. It'd take a presidential order to get them to move in here.
It was just as Smoke had guessed. All over the fast-settling West, little wars were flaring up. Too many for the authorities or the army to put down, so they were letting them burn themselves out. Here, they would be on their own.
So you're telling me you're not gonna work cattle, Bright?
I'm paid to fight, not herd cattle.
You're not being paid to do either one after this moment. Pack your kid and clear out. Pick up your money at the house.
Jason Bright's eyes became cloudy with hate.
And if I don't go?
Then one of us is gonna be on the ground.
Are you challenging me, old man?
Now, Cord was far from being an old man. At 45, he was bull strong and leather tough. And while he was no fast gun, there was one thing he was good at. Flat on his back, his mouth leaking blood, Jason grabbed for his gun, forgetting that the hammer thong was still on it. Cord kicked him in the belly.
I'll take this.
Cord tossed the gun to the side. He backed up, his big hands balled into fists.
Catch your breath and then get up, you yellow belly pup. Let's see how good you are without your gun.
A dozen gun hawks ran from the bunkhouse, but they stopped abruptly as Cord's sons, his daughter, his wife, and four regular hands appeared from both sides of the house and on the porch, rifles and sawed-off shotguns in their hands. Alice McCorkle raised her double-barreled shotgun.
It's going to be a fair fight, boys, between two men. And my husband is giving Mr. Bride a good 10 or 15 years in age difference. Boys, I was 19 when I killed my first Indian with this very shotgun. I've killed half a dozen Indians and two outlaws in my day, and any time any of you want to try me, just reach for a gun and try to break up this fight, whichever way it's going. And I'll spread your guts all over this yard. Then I'll make your gun-slinging buddies clean up the mess.
Alice lifted the shotgun, pointing the twin muzzles straight at Pooch Matthews. The man just about soiled his drawers.
Clean his plow, honey.
You done messed up good, old man. You're messing with... Oh!
The gunfighter's mouth was suddenly a bloody smear. Like so many men who lived by the gun and depended on a six-shooter to get him out of any problem, Jason had never learned how to use his fists. So Cord gave him a very short and a very brutal lesson. The gunfighter again fell to the ground. Now normally Cord would have kicked the man in the face and ended it. No truly tough man would consider that dirty or unfair fighting. It's just a way to get the fight over with and get back to work. Because in reality, there ain't no such thing as a fair fight. There's a winner and a loser, period. But in this case, Cord just wanted the fight to last a while. He was enjoying himself. And really, he was rather enjoying showing off for his wife a little bit. Cord dropped his guard while so pleased with himself, and Jason lunged up and charged ahead. The men hit the ground hard, but Cord rolled away. They both got back up and faced each other again. Cord shook his head to clear away the sparkling confusion, because Jason was no little man. Then Cord settled down to a good old-fashioned rough-and-tumble kick-and-gouge brawl. The two men stood boot-to-boot for a moment, hammering away at each other. Jason was younger and in good shape, but he had not spent a lifetime doing brutally hard work 12 months a year, wrestling steers and digging pest holes and roping and branding and breaking horses. Jason tried to kick Cord, but Cord grabbed the boot. Cord stepped back, circling, grinning at Jason, but giving the man time to clear his head and stand up and fight. But this time, Jason came up with a knife he pulled out of his boot.
No, you don't, Jason Bright. You toss that knife right now or you're getting two rounds of 12-gauge.
Oh, God damn it.
Wise choice, Jason.
Jason hit the ground and did not move. Cord walked to a water barrel by the side of the house.
Oh, that's better. All right, listen up. I want Jason out of here within the hour. No man disobeys an order of mine. Any of you want to stay, that's fine with me. But you'll take orders and you'll work the spread doing whatever Dell tells you to do. Make up your mind.
Hell, Mr. McCorkle, we come here to fight, not work cattle. No disrespect, man.
None taken. But the war's over as far as I'm concerned. Any of you who want to ride out, there'll be no hard feelings and I'll have your money ready for you at the house. See me on the porch for your pay.
All of them elected to ride. When the last gun slick had packed his war bag, collected his pay, and ridden out, Alice sat down beside Cord on the front porch.
You okay?
Yeah, but this isn't the end of it. I'm gonna have Dell let the Box T know what happened. They need to know.
Shortly afterwards, Jason Bright lay on a bed in the bunkhouse of the DH spread. Lanny Ball looked at the man's swollen and bruised face.
Sure got the crap pounding out of you.
It ain't over, though. Not by a long shot, it ain't.
Dooley Hanks had eagerly hired the gun slicks. He was already envisioning himself as king, and he wanted to kill Cord McCorkle personally. In his maddened mind, he blamed Cord for everything. He'd worked just as hard as Cord, but he'd never gained the respect that most people felt toward McCorkle. And that just wasn't right. King Hanks. Yeah, he sure liked the way that sounded. So, Rita started packing.
You know, this just gonna make matters worse.
Papa's crazy, Mother. He's crazy as a lizard. Haven't you seen the way he sits on the porch and mumbling to himself? Now he's gone and hired all those gunfighters? Worse? For who? I'll tell you who. Everybody. Everything from the Hound to the 16 Mile is going to explode.
And you think you'll be safer over at the Box T?
I won't be surrounded by crazy people. I won't be under guard all the time. I'll be able to walk out of the house without being watched. Are you going to tell on me, Mother?
No. You're a grown woman, Rita. Your father has no right to keep you prisoner here. But I don't know how you're going to pull this off.
I'll make it, Mother. This can't last forever, and I won't be that far away.
Have you considered that your father might try to bring you back by force?
He might if I was going to Sandy's. I don't think he'll try with Smoke Jensen.
Then you'll need this.
Rita's mother gave her some money.
Thank you, Mother. I'll pretend I'm going to bed early, right after supper. Then I'll be gone.
Be careful, honey.
Thank you, Mother.
After her mother had left the room, Rita laid out her clothes. Men's jeans, boots, a man's shirt. She had one of her brother's old hats and a work jacket to wear against the cold night. She picked up the scissors. Right after supper, she would whack her hair short. She believed it would work. It had to work. If she stayed around this place, she would soon be as nutty as her father and her crazy brothers. Cord and Alice sat on their front porch enjoying the welcome coolness of early evening after the warm day.
Peaceful, like it used to be.
If it'll only last, Cord.
All we can do is try, honey. That's all a mule can do is try.
Tell me about this Smoke Jensen. I've met him, but never to talk with at length.
He's a good man, I believe. Fair man. Not at all like I thought he'd be. He's one of those rare men that you look at and instantly know that this is one won't push. I found that out very quickly.
Cord remembered that first day he'd yelled at Smoke and Gibson, and the man had looked at him like he was a bug.
Sounds like you have a lot of respect for the man.
I do. I damn sure hate to have him for an enemy.
Stop!
Seems like the Moab kid's becoming a fixture in this house.
Remember our courting days?
Indeed I do. Wonderful. All right, let her have their time.
Cord and Alice sat quietly, smiling. Meanwhile, Smoke leaned against the corral railing and thought about Sally and the babies. He missed them something terrible. One part of him wanted this little war to come to a head so he could go home. But another part of him knew that when it did start, there would be a lot of people who would never go home, just under 6 feet of earth, and he might well be one of them. Charlie Starr walked up, and the men stood in silence for a moment, enjoying the peaceful evening.
I'd have liked to see in that fight between Cord and Jason.
Whew. Jason won't ever forget it, though. The next time he sees Cord, Cord better have a gun in his hand.
True.
They stood in silence for another few moments. Both men rolled an after-supper cigarette and lit up.
You were in deep thought when I walked up, Smoke. What's on your mind?
Oh, I had a half dozen thoughts going, Charlie. I was thinking about my wife and our babies, how much I miss them. And I was thinking just what it's going to take to blow the lid off this situation here.
What don't concern me as much as when.
Tonight.
What are you, one of them fortune tellers?
Feel it in my guts, Charlie. And don't tell me you never jumped out of saddle or spun and drew on a hunch.
Plenty of times. Saved my bacon on more than one occasion, too. That's what you're feeling?
That's it. It's always something you least expect, too.
I grant you that for a fact. Like that time down in Taos, this here woman crawled up in bed with me. Like to have scared the long handles right off me. Wanted me to save her from her husband. Didn't have a stitch on. I tell you what, that shook me plumb down to my toenails.
Did you save her?
Yeah. About 2 hours later. I've topped off horses that wasn't as wild as she was.
While Charlie was grinning about past triumphs, over at the Hanks house, a bedroom window opened. Rita Hanks closed her bedroom window and started on her way. She had cropped her hair short, hating to do it, but she always had been a tomboy, and besides, it'd grow back. She knew from watching and planning this that her guards were not on duty after 9 o'clock at night. It had never occurred to her father that his own daughter would attempt to run away. Rita slipped away from the house and past the corral and barn. She almost ran right into a cowboy returning from the outhouse, but she saw him in time to duck into the shadows. Something primeval touched Rita with an invisible warning. She remained where she was, squatting down.
It's clear.
Rita recognized the voice as belonging to the shifty-eyed gunslinger called Park, and the men were only a few yards away. She remembered something else, too. And the sudden memory was as hot and violent as the act that afternoon, while she was being raped. Fury and cold hate filled the young woman. Her father's own men had done that to her. She thought about returning to the house and telling her father, but she immediately rejected that. She had no proof, and her father would take one look at her close-cropped hair and lock her up tight with 24-hour guards. She touched the short barrel 44 tucked behind her belt. She was good with it, and she wanted very badly to haul it out and start banging. She fought back that feeling, though, and waited, listening.
Win. Keep your britches on. Lanny gives the orders around here, but it'll be soon. He told me so himself.
I'd like to take my britches off with Rita again.
You reckon Hanks is so stupid he don't realize what his boys is up to?
He's nuts. He don't realize them crazy boys of his would kill him right now if they thought they could get away with it.
Rita crouched in the darkness and wanted to cry. Not for herself or for her father. He had made the boys what they were today simply by being himself. But for her mother, she deserved so much better.
Well, it better be soon, because the boys is getting restless.
It'll be soon, but we gotta do it all at once. All three ranches. There can't be no survivors to tell about it. They gotta be killed and buried all in one night. We can torture the widows till they sign over the spreads to us.
Now, we gonna keep the young women alive for a time, ain't we? Especially that Faye Jensen. Oh, man, I want her. I want to show her a thing or two.
I don't know. Chancy. Maybe too chancy. It's all up to Jason and Lanny.
You know, them young women would bring a pretty penny south of the border.
Transport them females 1,000 miles? You're nuts, Hartley.
God damn, it was just a thought, Tabor.
A bad one? Man, just think of it. The whole area controlled by us. Thousands and thousands of acres. Thousands of cattle. We could be respectable. And you want to mess it all up because of some swishy skirts. Sometimes I wonder about you, Hartley.
All right. I'm sorry. God damn. I won't bring it up no more.
Fine.
The men all walked off, not looking at anybody else. Rita felt sick to her stomach, but she fought it back. Now more than ever, she had to make it to the box tee. She waited and looked around her, carefully inspecting each dark pocket around the ranch, the barn, and the bunkhouse. She stood up and moved out, silently praying that she wouldn't be spotted. Once clear of the ranch complex, Rita began to breathe a little easier. She slung her valise by a strap and could move easier with it over her shoulder. She headed southwest toward the box tee.
Oh. What time is it? 4 o'clock? Time to get up anyway. What's spooking the horses?
Smoke got dressed and armed quickly and rushed right outside. Lujan and a few of the other men were already outside. They all carried rifles.
Spread out. Let's find out what's spooking the horses.
Hello, the ranch!
Sing out!
Rita Hanks! I slipped away from the house about 8 o'clock last night. You might not recognize me because I cut my hair off to try to fool anyone who might see me.
Well, come on in, Rita!
Beans, wake up those in the house if they're not already awake. Get some coffee going. Because as soon as Hanks finds out his girl is gone, we're gonna have problems.
Over coffee and bacon and eggs, Rita told her story while Faye and Parnell and all the others gathered around in the big house and listened. When she was finished, she slumped in her chair, exhausted.
I wondered why the gunnies were holding back. This tells it all.
Yes, but I don't think they came in here with that in mind, Hard Rock. No one ever approached me with any such scheme, and both sides offered me fighting wages.
I think this plan was just recently hatched, after several others failed. Rita's attack didn't produce the desired effect. Hanks didn't attack Cord. Blackie failed to kill me, so I came up with this plan.
Smoke looked over at Rita. The young woman was asleep now, her head on the table.
I'll get her to bed.
You boys start chowing down. I think it's going to be a very long day.
In fact, that long day had already started at the Hank spread.
You knew, damn you. You helped her, didn't you? Don't lie to me, woman. You and Rita snuck around behind my back and planned all this.
Liz slowly got to her feet. A thin trickle of blood leaked from one corner of her mouth. She defiantly stood her ground.
I knew she was planning to leave. Yes. But I didn't know when or how. You've changed, Dooley. Changed into some sort of madman.
Liz hit the wall and grabbed a chair to steady herself. She stared at her husband as she wiped her bloody mouth with the back of her hand.
Where'd she go? No, you don't have to tell me. I know. She went over to Cord's place, didn't she?
No, she didn't.
You're a damn liar! A damn frog-eyed liar!
There ain't no other place she could have gone.
Outside, just off the porch, Lanny was listening to the ravens.
This might throw a kink into things, Lanny.
Maybe not, Parks. This might be a way to get rid of Cord and his boys in a way that even if the law was to come in, they'd call it a fair shooting. Man takes another man's kid in without the father's permission, that's a shooting offense.
I hadn't have thought of that. You're right.
If she did go to the Double Circle C.
Where the hell else would she go? Her and that damn uppity Sandy McCorkle is good friends.
Rita is no fool. She just might have gone over to the Box T. But we won't mention that. Just let Hanks play it his way.
I'm gonna tell you something, woman. I find out you've been lying to me. I'll give you a hiding that you'll remember the rest of your life.
That would be like you. Whatever you don't understand, you destroy.
What the hell does that mean?
Liz Hanks turned her back to Dooley and started to leave the room.
Don't turn your back on me, woman! I done put up with just about all I'm gonna take from you!
Liz stopped and turned slowly.
What are you gonna do, Dooley? Beat me? Kill me? It doesn't make any difference. Love just didn't die a long time ago. Your hatred killed it. Your hatred, your obsession with power. You allowed our sons to grow up as nothing more than ignorant savages. You...
Shut up! Shut up! Lies. Oh, lies, woman. I'm riding to get my kid back. And when I get her back here, I'm gonna take a boogie whip to her backside. That's something I should have done a long time ago. And I just might take it in my head to use a whip on you.
If you ever hit me again, Dooley, I'll kill you. And the same goes for Rita. But you've lost her. She'll never come back here. Don't worry about that. And I'll tell you where she's gone, Dooley. She's gone to the Box T.
Liar! Cord planned with you on this, and you know it. He's conspired against me ever since we come into this area. He'd do anything to get at me. He's jealous of me!
God, Dooley!
Dooley's face reddened, and he took a step toward his wife, his hand raised. She backed up and picked up a poker from the fireplace.
You were warned. You try to hit me, and I'll bash your head in.
I'll deal with you later.
Everybody, saddle up! Right now! Get ready to ride!
Liz leaned against the wall, her heart racing. Still, she held tight to the poker. Only when the horses were on their way did she lower the poker and replace it in the set on the hearth. She walked outside and stood on the porch as the day dawned. She noticed Gage and several of the other hands had not ridden with her husband. The foreman walked over to the porch and looked up at the still attractive woman. There was open disgust in his eyes as he took in the bruises on her face.
I ain't got no use at all for a man who hits a woman.
That's not the man I married, Gage.
Yeah, it is, Liz. It's the same man I've been knowing for years.
Maybe so, Gage.
Liz knew, of course, that Gage had been in love with her for a long, long time. And her feelings toward the foreman had also been steadily growing stronger with time. She cut her eyes toward him.
You're not riding with him?
Me and the boys punch cows, Liz. I made that plain to him the other day. He still has enough sense about him to know that someone has to work the spread.
What would you say if I told you I was going to leave him?
Then me and you could strike out together, Liz.
And do what, Gage?
I'll get married. Start us a little spread a long ways from here.
Well, I'm a married woman, Gage. It's not proper to talk to a married woman like that.
I don't see you turning around and walking off, Liz.
She looked hard at him.
Mr. Hanks and I'll be sharing separate bedrooms from now on, Gage. I would appreciate it if you'd stay close as much as possible.
I would consider that an honor, Liz.
Would you like to have some coffee, Gage?
I sure would.
Make yourself comfortable on the porch, Gage. I'll go freshen up and hotten the coffee. I won't be a minute.
Take your time, Liz. I'll be here.
Liz smiled. Her hair was graying and there were lines in her face. But to the foreman, she was as beautiful as the first day he'd laid eyes on her.
I'm counting on that, Gage.
You hear that?
The rumble?
Yep. They're on their way. Load up the guns. I believe it's time.
Cord walked to the dinner bell on the porch. Dell and four hands came on the run, carrying rifles, pistols belted around them.
Stand with me on the porch, boys. Mother, get your shotgun. Take the upstairs.
I'm up here with a rifle, Daddy.
Good girl.
Rifles were loaded to capacity and pistols were checked. A couple of shotguns were loaded up and placed against the porch rail. 30 riders came hammering past the gate and up to the picket fence around the ranch house, Hanks in the lead.
I don't appreciate this, Dooley. You got no call to come highballing up to my place.
I got plenty of call, Cord. Where's my daughter?
What? How the hell do I know? I haven't seen her in days.
You're a damn liar, McCorkle!
Cord unbuckled his gun belt and handed it to Dell. He swung his eyes back to Hanks.
You'll not come on my property and call me names, Dooley. Get out of that saddle and let's settle this feud man to man.
God damn you! I want my daughter!
I ain't got your daughter! But what I will have is your apology for calling me a liar!
When hell freezes over, McCorkle!
Two upstairs windows were open. A shotgun and a rifle poked out.
The first man to reach for a gun, I kill Lanny Ball.
Hey, what'd I do?
And I blow the two Mexicans out of the saddle.
Diego and Pablo froze in their saddles.
Now, Dooley, would you like to step down and have some coffee with me? You can inspect the house and the barn and the bunkhouse after you tell me your anger overrode your good senses when calling me a liar.
But where'd Rita go?
I don't know, Dooley. I didn't even know she was gone.
The moment was over, and Jason Bright and Lanny Ball and most of the others knew it. There would be no gunfire this day.
I'll be damned. It's a box tea. Liz wasn't lying.
Dooley, you go over there smoking, and if she is there, she's liable to catch a bullet. Because Smoke Jensen and them others are going to start throwing lead just as soon as you come into range.
She's my daughter, damn it, Cord.
She's also a grown woman.
She don't want my hearth and home. She can stay gone. I don't have no daughter no more. It ain't over, Cord. Not between us. The time just ain't right. There'll be another day.
Why, Dooley? Tell me that. Your spread's just as big as mine. I made peace with Faye Jensen. She ain't bothering nobody. Let's just bury the hatchet and be friends. Then you can fire these gun slicks and we can get on with living.
Too late, Cord. It's just too late. Let's go, boys.
Did you see his eyes? The man's mad.
Yeah. Question is, when will it take control of him? Or rather, when will he lose control?
One thing for certain, boss. When he does go total nuts, we're all going to be right smack dab in the big fat middle of it.
Something is rotten. Something is wrong with this whole setup.
Rider's coming.
Yeah, somebody coming back?
No, looks like Smoke Jensen and the Mohawk kid.
Well, fancy seeing you, Beans. It's been so long since you've come calling. Hours, at least.
Beans grinned sheepishly.
Gather your men, Cord. This is something that everybody should hear.
Cord's three sons had just ridden in. His other four punchers were still out on the range.
I spoke with Rita Hanks. She heard some of Hanks' men talking and recognized their voices. They were the people that attacked her.
Hanks' own men?
Yeah. And they were talking about attacking everybody, all at once. They're playing the ranches against each other.
Just got a little more complicated.
Yeah. Let's kick it around. Anybody got any suggestions?
We hand it to them before they do it to us.
No proof, Dell. Only the word of Rita. And she didn't even see the men. Just heard them talking.
Well, if we don't do something, we're just gonna be open targets and they'll pick us off one at a time.
Well, maybe, but I don't think so. I think they got to do everything all at once, at night. If what Rita says is true, and I ain't got no reason to doubt it, they'll split their people and hit us at the same time, and they can't leave any survivors.
I've got people bunching the cattle and moving them to high graze. They'll scatter some, but they can be rounded up. From now on, we stay close to the ranch house.
Cord nodded his head and looked at his ranch hand, Willie.
Right on out, Willie. Tell the boys to start moving them up towards summer graze. Get as much as you can done, and then you boys get on back here. We're going to lose some to rustlers, for a fact, but it's either that or we all die spread out. When do you think they'll hit us?
Tonight, next week, next month, no way of knowing.
So we may end up taking to the hills and fighting defensively.
I'm thinking that we will.
Sandy stepped outside.
Wait, you mean leave the house? But they'll just move in.
Can't be helped, girl. We can always clean up and rebuild. But it may come to a head. God help me, I don't want it. But we may have no choice in the matter.
Here comes Jake, and he's a-fogging it. What's up, Jake?
I just watched about 15 guys cut across our range coming from the northeast. Hard cases, every one of them. They was heading toward Gibson.
Damn Easterners talk about law and order. But where is it when it comes down to the nut cutting?
Smoke pulled out his right-hand Colt and held it up for all to see.
Right here, Cord. Right here.
Smoke returned to the box tee and soon caught up with his old friends.
The Cat Jennings gang. He's been up in Canada raising cane for the past few years.
This hair thing is shaping up to be a power play.
Yes, with us right in the middle of it.
Damn near 70 gunslingers. Most we can muster is 20, and that's stretching it.
Yeah, one thing about it, we've sure taken the strain off of a lot of other communities in the West.
Yeah, every outlaw and two-bit pistol handler from 5 states has done converged on us. And it wouldn't do a bit of good to wire for the law. No badge toter in his right mind would stick his face into this situation. Must be at least $250,000 worth of reward money hanging over them boys' heads. And that's something to think about.
Yeah, that damn sure is. Why, with just a little dab of that money, we could retire, boys.
Now, wait just a minute.
You know what we could do? We could start us up a retirement place for old gunslingers and mountain men.
Your people are crazy. You're becoming senile.
What's that mean?
It means we ain't responsible for our actions.
Well, that's a fancy excuse. Probably true, too. If we had any sense, none of us would be here. And that goes for you, too, Lujan.
I cannot argue with that.
That son of a bitch Cat backed up for me a couple of times. This time I think I'll force his hand.
Peck and Weasel McNabb is gonna be with him for sure. That damn Weasel got a letter in a friend of mine one time. I've been looking for him for 10 years. And that Peck, damn, he just plain no good.
No count George Victor's got 10,000 on his head. And he don't like me at all.
Crazy old man.
Well, I damn sure ain't gonna try to stop them. I ain't real sure I could take any of them, even if I was a mind to.
You boys ride for the box tee. You took the lady's money to ride for the brand, not to go off headhunting. You all are needed here. Now when the shooting starts, speaking for myself, you can have all the reward money.
Same for me.
Oh, hell, Smoke. We were just flapping our gums. You know we're sticking right here. But Cat Jennings is mine.
And Peck and Weasel belongs to me.
And no count George Victor's gonna be looking straight at me when I fill his belly full of lead.
Well then, Three Fingers Kerman and Fulton killed a pal of mine over to Deadwood some years back. Backshot him. I didn't take kindly to that. So them two belongs to me.
You men are incorrigible.
Damn right. Whatever the hell that means.
Rita's up having breakfast.
How's she feeling?
Oh, aside from some sore feet, she's doing all right. She's not used to walking in men's boots. I think she's pretty well resigned that her father is around the bend. I told her what you said about Dooley saying he no longer had a daughter. It hurt her, but not as much as I thought it would. I think she's more concerned about her mother.
She should be. There's no telling what that crazy bastard is liable to do.
Where are your clothes, Liz?
I moved them out. I no longer feel married to you, Dooley.
You no longer what?
I don't love you anymore. I haven't for a long time. Years. I cringe when you touch me.
Liz fell against the wall. She didn't want Gage to come storming in because she knew that she had absolutely no rights as a married woman. She owned nothing, could not vote, and in a court of law, her husband's word was next to God's. And if Gage were to kill Dooley during a domestic squabble, he would hang. She was staring at Dooley as the front door opened and her son stomped in. Conrad, the youngest of the boys, grinned at her.
You having a good time while Pa's using you for a punching bag?
Dooley grabbed Liz by the arm.
Now get in the kitchen and fix me some dinner. I don't want to hear no more mouth from you.
Liz walked toward the kitchen, her back straight. She vowed to follow Rita as quickly as she could. And then a plan jumped into her head and she smiled at the thought. It just might work. Later on, Liz went out to gather eggs in the hen house. Dooley and her sons had left the house without telling her where they were riding off to, as usual. All the hired guns were in town drinking. Gage had ambled over, as he always did, to carry her basket. She told him of her plan.
I like it, Liz. Go in the house and pack up a few things while everybody's gone. I'll get the boys.
You mean...
Right now, Liz. Let's get going from this crazy house before Dooley gets back. Come on, move, Liz.
Liz went one way and Gage trotted to the bunkhouse.
Liz, I'm quitting.
I'm with you. And so will the others. Help me pack up their stuff, will you? I'll tote it to them on a pack horse. How about old Cook?
Well, he'll go wherever Liz goes. He came out here with him.
Ah, Liz, huh? Okay, Gage.
Working frantically, the two men stuffed everything they could find into canvas.
I'll lash up the pack horse and tell Cook to hightail it. I'll see you at the Circle Double C.
Will do.
Old Cook was right behind Les. He packed up his war bag and swung into the saddle just as Liz was coming out of the house, a satchel in her hand.
Here's your horse, Liz.
Turn your head, Gage. I don't quite know how I'm going to do this. I never sat astride in my life.
Gage turned his head.
You may look now, Gage.
He had guessed at the stirrup length and got it right. She sure had a pretty ankle.
Hang on, Liz. We got some rough country and some hard riding to do.
Wherever you ride, I'll be with you.
Gage blushed all the way down to the holes in his socks.
I'll kill every goddamn one of them. I'll stick that damn Gage out over an anthill. And listen to him scream. He'll regret the day he ever laid eyes on me. That
Lanny, this ain't good. I'm beginning to think we're snake bit.
No, Jason. Gives the other side a few more guns, is all.
Seven more guns, Lanny.
No sweat.
Jason Bright and Lanny Ball could only imagine what was going on inside the house now. Dooley's sons were leaning against a hitch rail, shaking their heads, smiling, and scratching themselves.
Them boys is as nuts as their dad.
Just as dangerous. Don't sell them short. They're all cat quick with a gun.
But what about them?
We'll just kill them after we've taken the ranches.
Liz, of course you can stay. And stop saying it'll be a bother. You and Gage, I'm so happy for you. We'll survive it.
Dooley began to change. Maybe he was always mad, I don't know. I know only that I love Gage and have for a long, long time. I just feel like a great weight has been lifted from me.
Well, you rest for a while. I'll get supper started.
I'm not tired. And I want to do my share here. Come on, I got a recipe for cinnamon apple pie that'll have Cord groaning.
Kill the women! What a bunch of stinking bastards! Well, we got out of that snake pit just in time. Cord, me and the boys will help your crew bunch the cattle. Dale, you remember that box canyon over towards Spitter Creek?
Yeah, it's got good graze and water. It'll keep them for several weeks. That's a good idea, Gage. We'll get started first thing in the morning. Smoke said him and his boys will be over at first light to help out. They done got their cattle bunched and safe as they could make them.
I sent a rider over to tell them all about y'all. I imagine Rita will be coming over to stay with her mama. Smoke's already making plans to vacate the Box T. We both figure that'll be the first spread Dooley will hit. Smoke ain't got the men to defend it against 70 or more men.
No, but them men that he's got was born with the bark on. I'd sure hate to be in that first bunch that tackles them.
They'll cut down the odds some, for sure.
You know, I grew up hearing stories about Pistol LaRue and Hard Rock and Silver Jim. Hey, Charlie Starr. Lord, till Smoke Jensen come along. I reckon he's the most famous gun handler in all the West. Hard Rock and Pistol and Silver Jim. Why, them men must be nigh on 70 years old. They still tough as leather and mean as cornered grizzlies. We're looking at history here.
Let's just hope that we all live to read about it.
Off by the barn, the living legends were conferring with Smoke.
I think they'll try us tonight, Smoke. My old Bones is talking to me.
I agree with you, Charlie.
I done tossed my blankets over yonder in that stand of trees. I never did like to sleep all cooped up no ways. I like to look at the stars.
We'll all stay clear of the house tonight. Fill your pockets with ammunition, boys, and don't take your boots off. I think tonight is going to be interesting.
Bob was in the loft of the barn. Spring and Pat stayed in the bunkhouse, both of them armed with rifles. Luhan was in the barn, lower level. Pistol, Silver Jim, Charlie, and Hard Rock were spread around the house. Smoke elected to stay close to the now-empty corral. The horses had been moved away to a little draw. Ring was with them. Beans had slipped into moccasins and was roaming. Parnell was in the house with the women. Rita and Faye were armed with rifles, but Parnell refused to take a gun.
Let's see if they're getting close.
Beans knelt down in the road and put his ear to the hard-packed earth.
Hey, Silver Jim! Coming! Sounds like a bunch of them, too!
I hear you. They're coming by Beans! Bunch of them!
Beans went to cover about 20 yards from the road and was the first to see the flames from the torches.
Torches! They're gonna try and burn us out! But before they get here...
The hard-riding outlaw gunslinger started thundering up to Beans' position. He brought a six-shooter up. As soon as Beans emptied his six-shooter, he picked up his Winchester. He hid behind a tree as the men rode past. His job there was done. He had thinned their ranks. Up ahead, Silver Jim got three clean shots off. One outlaw hit the ground, and the other two were just hanging on, gripping the saddle horn. Not dead, but definitely out of action.
Another bunch coming up behind us. Shift to the rear.
Smoke stood by the corral, dim figure, torch-lit night, with both hands full of long-barreled Colts. He picked his targets.
Parnell! They're throwing torches in here. The couch is on fire.
I got it.
Parnell rushed to the corner of the room where buckets of water had been preemptively filled. He managed to keep the fire confined to the couch.
Good job, Parnell. Check the whole house.
The barn was not so lucky. While Luhan and Bob were fighting at the rear of the barn, a rider tossed a torch into the hayloft. That action got him a bullet, and Smoke cut his spine and shattered his heart, but there was no saving the barn. Bob and Luhan fought inside until it became too difficult to see and breathe, and they had to run for cover amid a hail of lead. The small band of defenders of the Box T were now having to fight against range robbers on all sides. One outlaw made the mistake of finding the horses and thinking he was going to set them free.
Oh, no, you don't. I don't like folks who are mean and nice people.
Huge hands clamped around the man's head. Ring broke the man's neck, then got the rifle from the outlaw's saddle boot, made sure it was full, and waited for some more action. The area around the ranch house was now brightly lighted from the flaming barn. Too bright for the outlaw's taste, because the accuracy of the defenders was more than they had counted on.
Let's get the hell gone!
Don't bother chasing after them. We need to take care of this fire. Bucket line, everybody! We need to soak the roof!
all ran into the yard to form a bucket line to wet down the roof of the house so the sparks from the burning barn couldn't set it on fire. The men worked frantically, because already there were smoldering spots on the roof. It didn't take long for the barn to go. Soon there was nothing left except a huge mound of glowing coals. The men sat down on the ground where they were, all of them suddenly tired as the adrenaline slowed.
Faye, this is madness! Let us leave this barbaric country and return to civilization!
Faye got up from the ground and walked toward Parnell. Parnell found himself flat on his butt, blood leaking out of a busted lip, looking up at his baby sister. He wore a hurt expression on his face.
I suppose, sister, that is your quaint way of saying no.
You're learning, Parnell.
This ain't worth a damn, Lanny. 9 dead and 6 wounded. Couple more nights like this and we might as well hang it up.
Sure got to change our plans. We should have hit McCorkle first.
Well, you can bet they all is going to be on the alert after this night. Hell, let's just go on and kill that stupid Dooley and his sons and settle for this spread.
Park, you ain't got a bit of smarts in that big head of yours. It's got to be the whole bag or nothing. Think about it. You think Cord and Smoke would let us stay in this area on this spread? And what about Dooley's wife? You forgetting about her?
I reckon so.
Unbeknownst to Jennings, both Jason and Lanny admired Cat's matching guns. They were silver-plated, scroll-engraved with ivory grips, Smith & Wesson 44s, top break for easier loading. They both coveted Cat's guns, and both of them were thinking, when this is over, they just kill him and take those fancy guns. 'Cause honor among thieves extends only so far.